Good morning. It is good to be with all of you, even though most of you are at home this morning, but we are grateful that God has given us the opportunity to worship in spirit and in truth, whether we are in the same room together or we are far, far away. We are still united in Christ, united as one body of believers who can glorify Him and worship Him wherever we are. It is by His blessing that we can come together. And for that, we are grateful. It is hard to find things that are grateful to be grateful about this year, but that is why we are spending our 3 weeks of November studying gratitude and leaning into the promises and the calling that a grateful life brings to it. Today, we're going to read first from Isaiah chapter 61. This is starting with verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he hath clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Turning now over to the book of Colossians, this is Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are and for the gifts that you have given. God, we thank you that you are present with us, that in the middle of one of the hardest times of our lives, yet you are the one who brings us grace, who brings us truth. Lord, you are the one who sees us in all of our faults, and you pour out your mercy so that we can be your pure and spotless bride. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as we have talked about gratitude this month, it has been a season of having a lot of things to be grumpy about. It is hard not to be grumpy that we can't be in the room together worshiping God and to be present with each other. It's hard to think about what the holiday season is going to be. Many of you can't be with your family members over the next week to celebrate Thanksgiving. All the wonderful traditions and family reunions have to be put on hold for a while. And yet, God is calling us to be thankful in all circumstances. We talked about that a lot during our Philippians study as Paul is in prison and he tells everyone, I've learned to be content no matter whether I have plenty or little, whether I am in prison or free. I can do all things through Christ, that contentment through Christ who strengthens me. He says, give thanks in all circumstances in Thessalonians, for this is the will of God. So how does that gratitude impact our lives? Well, the first week of this series, we talked about how gratitude impacts our worship. Basically, worship is gratitude. It's an expression of the greatness of God and the great things that He has done. We worship God because we can be thankful. We worship through our thanksgiving, and that transforms who we are and transforms our view of who God is, because we focus on His greatness and His grace and His power and His mercy toward all of us. Last week we talked about gratitude and how it impacts generosity, how when we realize how generous God has been with us, we respond in thanks, and then we in turn are generous as well, and then others respond in thanks. And it's a big cycle as we give and receive and receive gifts, give graciously, and then others can speak with gratitude as a result of that. Today, as we look at gratitude one last time, it's really all about worship again. Our gratitude leads to worship, but not just on Sunday mornings. Gratitude leads to worship on Tuesdays and Thursdays and at work and at school and at home. Gratitude changes how we live our lives. I had to read it twice, verse 17 in Colossians 3. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, all of it is in gratitude, out of gratitude, for gratitude, to share the generous blessing that God has given us so that others may find rejoicing in Christ as well. He is our good God. As we look at all of these pieces that he's talking about in Colossians, we see the imagery of clothes. I liked that Isaiah tie-in with the Colossians passage, because he's talking about, he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As we think about what it means to be a Christian, Paul is emphasizing the fact that we need to take off the old self, take off the old man, take off the old clothes, and put on the clothes of his righteousness. And those smell different, they look differently than the ones that we have just taken off. And he holds this contrast up between these two things. Again, he is writing from prison, and yet even in prison, he wants people's hearts to be changed so that they can glorify him and live in him and through him. As he is talking about this, he contrasts the old way of doing things, the old way you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Do not lie to one another, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of the Creator. As we take off those old garments, we are able then to put on the new garments that make us stand with Christ's righteousness, so that we can be made in His image. As he says, then our new lives will be then adorned with these clothes that are appropriate to Christianity. We, as God's chosen people, he says, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. All of these things we need today. You can see that list, the earlier list of things to let go of in our social media, in our politics, in almost everything about our world right now. We see anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. We see bitterness and lies and all of these things. And God is saying, let go of all of that. That's the old you. That's the old way of doing things. And now take on and embrace what he has for you, the beautiful robes of righteousness that he offers to you. All of this is about worship. As we give thanks to God, we give praises to him in all of our daily lives, in every single interaction we have, in every single time that we can bless other people to reflect the blessings of the Lord Jesus who has done this for us. I read an interesting article this week talking about gratitude. It was actually written the year I was born. It's a really old article, but it captures something really fascinating. it was talking about, we often think of the original sin as being one of pride, like, I want to be like God. But this person said there was something behind that pride, and it was a lack of gratitude. Here, Lucifer was, one of the highest ranking angels in the universe, and he wasn't satisfied with that. He didn't give thanks to God for that. Instead, he said, I can do this myself. And he grabbed on to what he could hold. He says, this in a nutshell is the cause of evil in the world. Satan was not content to give thanks for the high position he had in the family of God. Adam and Eve were not satisfied with thanking God for his bountiful provision for them. They focused rather on what was not given to them and became futile in their thinking, as it says in Romans 1. We repeatedly prove our kinship to the pair by neglecting to thank God for what we have and complaining over what we do not have. I'm going to read that one again because I need to hear it. We repeatedly prove our kinship to the first pair by neglecting to thank God for what we have and complaining over what we do not have. Isn't that the truth? If Adam and Eve, think of all that they had. They had that beautiful garden, more food than they could ever need. Their labor, their stewardship over that garden was not painful work. It was just joy. It was communion with God. It was the ability to walk with God in the cool of the noonday. This blessing that they had of peace and rest, shalom, everything was good. And yet, they weren't grateful. What if Satan had said, you know, when he said, you can eat of this fruit and it'll make you like God, and they had said, you know what? We're grateful for what we have. God has given us what he has chosen to give us, and that is enough, and we don't need anything more. What if that had been sufficient? The story of the universe would be very, very different from that point on. And yet, they chose to not be grateful, to want one more thing that they couldn't have, and that's gotten us into the predicament we are today. There's an amazing story in the New Testament that I love where Jesus, it demonstrates this story. It demonstrates someone who is incredibly, incredibly thankful for the gift that she receives in Jesus Christ. Jesus is at the home of a Pharisee, and they're having this big, elaborate banquet. And this woman comes in, a sinful woman. Everybody knows that this woman is sinful. And yet she walks in bringing an incredibly expensive jar of perfume. And she bends down at Jesus' feet and starts weeping at his feet and dries his feet with her tears and then pours perfume all over them. Of course, the Pharisees are absolutely aghast that Jesus is allowing this sinful woman to do this. Don't you know who she is, Jesus? And Jesus tells a parable about one person who is forgiven for 2 years' wages and another person who's forgiven for 2 months' wages. And he says, all right, Simon, which one is going to be the most grateful? And the point is, those who are forgiven much love much. She knew how much she had been forgiven. And her gratitude for that forgiveness transformed who she was. She was no longer driven by fear and shame, kept away from her Savior. He had seen her. He had seen everything about her. He knew every sin she had ever committed. And he forgave her. And he cleansed her of that. And it set her free for this bold, lavish, crazy, almost ridiculous expression of love and gratitude. It appalled the others, but here are the Pharisees trying to grab for power, trying to grab for things, trying to suppress Jesus so they can be greater. And yet here is this woman, one of the greatest stories of gratitude in the Bible. When we realize how much God has done for us, that is when the gratitude impacts us and spills over to everyone else around us. It's so easy to go through the day and forget how much God has given us, to forget that all of it, everything, is gift, and especially that love that he has for us. I was watching a film version of one of my favorite novels yesterday, and the line struck me again. The hero has been berating the heroine the whole movie, and yet at this moment when he finally admits that he loves her, he says, "You are faultless despite all of your faults." I love that line because that's how Jesus sees us. You are faultless. You are justified. You are transformed into pure, even though Jesus knows all of our faults. That's the sanctification process. He's going to be cleaning us up for a long, long time until we get to heaven. But he, in his grace, in his robes of righteousness, he sees us as faultless. He sees us with such incredible love. And what impact does that have then on the way that we see others? In our gratitude for Christ's love for us, we can show gratitude and grace for everyone around us. What would it look like if the people in your life who drive you nuts, if you saw them as faultless in Christ despite all of their faults? Would you be able to love them better if you weren't keeping score anymore, but you were delighting in all that God was doing in them, the way that God was bringing out his gifts in them, seeing them through Christ's eyes and not our judging, checklist, keeping score way of seeing people, faultless despite all of our faults. When we look at this list that Paul says in Colossians, the way he wants us to live our lives, it transforms every single relationship if we do it with thanksgiving. In replace of anger, thanksgiving gives us compassion. We don't have to be angry anymore because God has shown us compassion. We know how much we had sinned. We know how far we have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet he has compassion on us through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is because of his compassion that we can share compassion. One of my favorite lines is that we are beggars showing other beggars where to find bread. We did not have anything of our own. We have not earned it by our own merit. It is all gift. And when we realize it's all gift, we can have compassion and grace on the broken people around us. We don't have to wait until they are fixed up. We don't have to be angry at their faults. That's God's job. I love how Billy Graham says, he compares himself to a fisherman, but he says, "It's my job to catch them, God cleans them." We have to be in the catching business, in the engaging and wooing it and enticing into that relationship with Christ business. God's job is the cleaning up business, and we have to trust him with that. We are thankful that he has called us faultless. We can give that same grace to others. The same goes as you look down that whole list. Instead of malice, think about how much malice, anger, bitterness, all of that stuff is in our world today. Instead of that, showing one another kindness. We are thankful that God has been kind to us. May we remember every day, every morning, as much as it's so hard to live in lockdown and isolation and quarantine and unknowns of what it's going to be like this winter. How can we reach out in kindness? Because even in the midst of this time, Jesus Christ is being kind to us. Look for the places that he is being kind to us. And then let that joy spread to those around you and show them kindness as well. Everybody can use some kindness right now. Think about slander, how much of our social media, our politics, it's all about slander. It's about tearing down the other side. What if we've responded to that by being thankful and our thankfulness resulting in humility? Humility lets go of power. Humility is Jesus Christ, Philippians 2. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He could have sat up there with God and said, "I'm smiting you, and I'm smiting you," and he could have wiped out everybody on the planet. He could have proclaimed the truth. He didn't even have to go to slander. All he needed to do was speak truth about all of us. Instead, he humbled himself even unto death on a cross, so that we may be reconciled with God, so that his robe of righteousness may be placed on us. As we see his humility, rather than lashing out at people, we can show our own humility, considering others' needs above ourselves, showing others grace because we need it ourselves. The same goes with each of the rest of the things on that list: gentleness, forgiveness, patience, and love. Forgiveness, again, as with that woman, it's one of the core things we need to remember and reflect on how much we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven way more than 2 years' wages. We have been forgiven eternity. The response that we deserved, an eternity separated from God. And that has been replaced by forgiveness and eternity with God. As we think about how all of these things impact our lives and how they transform every single one of our relationships, it brings to my mind the quote from Andrew Kuiper, who said, every square inch of our lives, every square inch of the whole world belongs to God. What does your life look like if every square inch of your life is impacted with thanks? Every time you get frustrated with somebody, what if you found three things to thank God for about them? Every time you get angry, find three things that you can do to show compassion. Every time you lose patience with someone, remind yourself of all the ways Jesus has been patient with you. Thanks be to God. He is patient with us despite all of our faults. He still sees us as faultless. And he will present us faultless and with great joy to the eternal God, our Father, when we are all together at the wedding feast of the Lamb. That is the future that we hold and long for. And so every single step of every single day of our lives needs to be defined by thanksgiving and gratitude. As he has treated us, let us treat others the same, knowing that they too can know the wonders and glories of the robes of righteousness, being clothed in his salvation and being presented with him with great joy. Brothers and sisters, we are the bride of Christ, and he is the bridegroom who looks at us with more love than we can even imagine. Let his love for you and his love for every person around you define how you live this day, Tuesday, Thanksgiving Day, and every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Holy God, you are the only one who is faultless, but you were willing to take on all of our faults to pay the price for them. Lord God, we thank you and praise you for your incredible gift that you let go of everything you held in heaven, so that you may grab on to us through your death and resurrection. Lord God, forgive us for all the ways that we have not walked in gratitude. Forgive us for all the ways we have kept score against other people. Lord, may our thanksgiving be worship to you in every square inch of our lives. May we be transformed in your likeness as we focus our eyes on you, fix our eyes on you, looking unto Jesus, so that in our thanksgiving for all you have done, it shines out to a world who is broken and hurting and desperately in need of a Savior. Lord God, we are in need of you in so many ways in our lives. We are grieving this recent spike of COVID cases and longing to be set free from this. In the midst of this, though, we do thank you that you are the God who is still in control. This is not a surprise to you. You saw this coming. We thank you for the success of the vaccines that have been developed in record time, and we pray that you would continue to lead and guide all of those in the medical profession and in the research arms and even the distribution arms, that this might be a tool that you use to rescue us from this incredible plague that we have on us. Lord, it is only in your great mercy that you bring us out of a plague. Lord, you say that in 2 Chronicles, you say that when my people are faced with a plague, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them and I will heal their land. Lord God, we humble ourselves before you and we ask for you to heal our land. We ask for you to heal all of those who have recently developed COVID. We ask for your protection for us who haven't received it, Lord God. And we ask for your incredible transformed heart that even in the midst of this circumstance, in all circumstances, we can give thanks for that is the will of God. Lord God, we thank you for your incredible gift of calling us your dearly beloved children. We thank you for the gift of giving us your nickname, Abba, Daddy. And Daddy, we pray to you this morning as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's proclaim together now our faith in Jesus Christ through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.